You are listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting. You know, sometimes people say that I only say bad things about Ron in these bumps. So it's time for me to say something good. Well, he hasn't killed anyone in a long time. You're listening to Ron Van Dam, Reformed Killer, on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
That's not true, I'm a nice man.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I'm very, very nice, really. If you think that I'm a grumpy bastard, it's only because that's how great an actor I actually am. I'm actually a peace-loving pacifist who loves everybody. I'm sorry. That's funny. It's true. I'm playing the part of a grumpy bastard. It's a dramatic piece. It's a performance. That's all that is. And if you think I really am a grumpy bastard, then I guess my performance should be hailed by the critics. In the words of Columbus to his crewmates, hey, what's that land over there? Remember that? Huh? That was pretty cool. Remember Moses? Remember what Moses said when he was parting the Red Sea? He said, this might be a good time to get to the other side. Remember that? That was cool. Moses, crazy guy. Went up to Mount Sinai on vacation because the Catskills were closed. And he received the Ten Commandments on a piece of rock from God on top of the mountain. And the reason that I really like Moses is because he said thank you. And I think that really was the start of being polite. And I appreciate that, Mose. I call him Mose because we were close. Actually, every once in a while, we would swap sandals. So there you go. Okay, that's enough. Now you've gotten what you think you paid for. Welcome to the show. Happy whatever year this is to you. What is it, 2026? What the hell is this thing? Three. Oh, good. It's not as bad as I thought. I lost count a while ago. I'm trying to get motivated. Every day when I wake up, I say to myself, well, it's still the beginning of a new year, calendar-wise. Otherwise, it's not, but calendar-wise, it's the beginning of a new year, so let's do something different. So now, when I get up in the morning, I brush my teeth backwards. Yeah, changes everything. No, I need motivation in my life. With the new year, I did find that I was motivated to do the things that I wanted to do. Problem is, with that motivation, I ended up doing nothing anyway. I've gotten the motivation down, but actually doing what the motivation is for, that's not going to happen. Try as I must, that ain't going to happen. There's a Planet Fitness near where I live. It's Planet Fitness near where everybody lives, actually. And I pass it every once in a while, and I look at the people walking into the building, and I wonder why I'm not one of them. And then I quickly realize it's because I'm just not, and that's all there is to it. There's no explanation. I am not the kind of person that walks into a building and gets on a machine. It just doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. I've tried it before. I've been a member of Planet Fitness probably 10 times. But I've been on their machines maybe once during the introductory tour. But beyond that, no. It's not my thing. You know, it's just not my thing. I think what you need to do in this new calendar year of resolutions is just admit that that's just not the thing. It's just, why am I forcing myself to do things that I just don't really do? So it's been proven throughout my life, I don't do that shit. And yet, there's something in me that tries to motivate me to work out every day. And I should take a lesson from my own history. And no, that just is not going to happen. So why do I try? And I don't know the answer to that. But as I passed this Planet Fitness yesterday, I looked at the building and I thought, let's give it another shot. That was on the little on one shoulder. On the other shoulder was the devil saying, don't go in, you'll never get out. And so I didn't. Planet Fitness makes the memberships seem so easy. What is it, like only like $2,000 to join? No, I think it's like $10 or maybe $1 to join and then $10 a month. I mean, who can't afford that? Even if you're collecting money on a median strip in front of a mall because you have no job, although that is a job. It is a job. Let me put it to you this way. And I'm not demeaning people that beg. I'm not demeaning them. I don't understand them. I think I've begged many times in my life for sex. But thankfully, no. But that's a real job. I mean, I'm not being demeaning, but you know, some of you have a job, sit in front of a computer all day in a little cubicle. You know, thinking that coffee is a big deal because that's the only thing you get to do. And then that's one job. The other job is standing on a median strip trying to collect money to feed your family. You're outside all day, walking back and forth, you know, begging for money. That's hard. That's harder to do. I'm just saying that's a shout out. It's a shout out. Anyway, let's get back to it. I'm toying with the idea of joining a gym or Planet Fitness. There are many, many gyms. Usually they're in garages for some reason, but this is a nice gym, apparently, and it's where people go to make believe that they're making their lives better, but you know they're not. I remember when I had the gym membership, I used to go directly to the stationary bike. I've always found the stationary bike to be very interesting because it's what we call the lazy man's exercise. If you really wanted to exercise, you'd get on a bike that wasn't stationary and actually go somewhere. I mean, as long as you're pedaling the hell out of your legs and raising the heart rate, you might as well end up at a destination. I mean, sitting, doing all that and just sitting stationary on a bike, it's almost comical. It's like, well, I'm pedaling real hard, but it's like getting in a car and revving up the engine, but the car's got no tires. It just doesn't make sense. It makes no sense. You're on a stationary bike and you're watching TV. It's like, oh, come on. I mean, I don't know. Is this right? It doesn't look right. 20 years ago, I was on a radio station and I came up with this invention, and now I think it's more applicable than ever. And that was my invention was, it never went anywhere. Nobody took me up on it. I offered to my listeners to invest in my product. Well, that went nowhere because everything I do sounds like it's a comedy show, so they don't take me seriously. But here was my invention. It's a stationary bike. Yeah, I know they have them already. I get it. Stationary bike. But it's hooked up to a machine, to a generator. And when you're pedaling, you are creating energy, friction energy, that is stored in a battery that is connected by cable to this bike. So my point is that being on the bike stationary-wise, no, you're not going anywhere, but you are generating electricity that you can use for yourself later on in case there's a power outage in your home, or you want to take this little portable generator box that's connected to the stationary bike. You disconnect it from the bike, and you can take it outside, and it can power a radio or a gas stove in your backyard or on a camping trip. That would be an incredible invention. I don't know if they have that. I don't think they do. But I'm putting it out again. If someone wants to invest in my incredible idea called the stationary bike portable generator, or SBPG for short, you can invest. How do you do that? Contact me. How is it possible to contact me? It isn't. I do have an email address, and I'll tell you what it is. It's ronvandamshow@gmail.com. You can go there, or you can go to our New England Broadcasting website, and you can do that messaging thing or whatever. I don't know how it works. I'm not sure. I don't even know what TikTok is. I thought TikTok was like a clock company. But apparently it's a social media thing that is pretty much controlled and created by the Chinese government. Oh, I feel perfectly secure using TikTok. Oh, okay. Is that why the government has banned TikTok from being used on government-issued phones? Is that why? Because it's so trustworthy and safe and secure? What, are you kidding me? Anyway, that's my invention idea, stationary bike. But anyway, so that's the first thing I go to at this Planet Fitness. And by the way, we are not a planet of fitness. We're far from a planet of fitness. We are a planet of unfitness. But you can name your building whatever you want. And the other thing is that, that ski machine thing where you're going back and forth, elliptical machine, I don't even know what they call it. And your legs are going back and forth as if you're skiing. I mean, I don't like to ski, so like I'm not getting on that. And that's also exhausting. And then they have these machines that look like they are torture implements that were used during the darker hours of the war. They are iron poles that are mangled with pulleys and things, and it looks like when you're on one of these machines or whatever they are, they look like torture devices. When I work my abs on one of these torture devices, I actually confess to things. The other problem I have with Planet Fitness is it is a co-ed thing, which is nice. I'm not having sex with anybody there, but same. Because, yeah, I mean, I guess you could have sex with somebody at Planet Fitness because everybody's already sweating. But I'm watching people working out who look far better than I do. And I don't like to be put in my place and pay for it. You know, I don't like to be in a place where everybody's looking pretty fit and pretty good in their little retard things. What is it? Leotards? If I put a leotard on, I think I would clear the building. It would be, if there was ever a fire drill, you know, or so there was actual fire in the building and the fire drill, the alarm wasn't working, they just say, Ron, put these leotards on. Everybody will vacate the building immediately. That's what we call a joke that it goes nowhere. But it would happen. It would happen. So I'm not planning to join the gym, go near the gym. Actually, I'm going to drive a different route to get where I want to go on the road so I don't have to even drive by the gym. anyway. Yeah, a lot of people, they had their, there was a couple of places where in the parking lot, cars were being, there were smash and grabs in the parking lot. This is before they had security cameras in parking lots. But the cheaper gyms didn't have security cameras. So you'd park your car and you leave your stuff in the car, like your wallet and, you know, important things. But you'd leave your wallet in the car. And then these nasty people, these smash and grabbers, would see you walking into the gym, which means that if you're vacating your car and you're walking into the gym, you're not going to be at your car for at least 30 minutes. Plenty of smash and grab. You don't even have to smash and grab. You can get into the car while you're eating a sandwich. No rush. There's no rush. That was a problem for a while, but now with the security cameras, no, not so easy. Not so easy. So we're down on the smash and grabs. The smash is still good. The grabs aren't so good. Anyway. I don't know, resolutions, New Year's resolutions. They're just like a waste of time. They are basically mental exercises to keep hope alive. Hope is on a respirator. So it doesn't really, it doesn't go anywhere. It really doesn't go anywhere. Nothing does. Nothing does. What you have to do is, I've said this so many times on the show, but I really believe this is my mantra. As soon as you're like 30 years old, you should pretty much know what works and what doesn't, what things you're great at, what things you should avoid. You should know yourself. Introduce yourself to yourself. Wear a little name badge that has your name on it and look in the mirror. Introduce yourself to yourself. Have a cocktail with yourself and just come to an understanding. This is what I do well. This is what I don't do well. This is what makes me comfortable. This is what makes me uncomfortable. And if you want to play with yourself, and I don't mean it in that way, but if you want to play with your abilities every once in a while, try to do something that you know you're not good at. Chances are it will only reinforce your depression. Spend most of your time, if not all, doing things that you are good at, because that makes you feel good. And do the things that make you comfortable. Yeah, I know there are people that say you should always challenge yourself. No, not in my world. Not in my Planet Fitness. No. Challenge yourself? No. I don't have time for that. I already know what I can't do and what I can't do well. What am I challenging? Come on, try. Come on, put some effort. Look, now you can do it. No, you can't. You can do it, but you don't do it well. Hear the old adage that, everybody, there's a mate for everybody. Everybody should get married. There's somebody for everybody. No, there's not. No, there's not somebody for everybody. You are so specific. You are such an individual. You are carved out of something that cannot be duplicated. There is not somebody for you. There is only somebody that can tolerate you and someone that you can tolerate. And that's what we call a happy marriage. I don't want the show to turn into a marriage counseling session, or I can't even say counseling session. I don't want to turn it into that. I'm just saying, stop striving for perfection. You might see it every once in a while. You might bathe in perfection here and there in your life. It ain't a standard. Not at all. That's not the way it works. I had a neighbor, who nice guy, young kid, young boy. Boy was probably 8 years old or something. Father was playing catch with his son in the backyard. Beautiful. Nice suburban kind of scene. The father was pitching the ball to his son. And the son would swing at the ball, and miss, or hit the ball and it would just, like, you know, peter over to the side. You know, kid was not good at hitting baseballs with a bat. It was a wiffle ball, but still. Father actually said a number of times to the kid, and I don't know why he said this. He kept saying, if you keep playing like that, you'll never be a professional baseball player. Yes, that's a true statement. I don't think your kid was really trying to be a professional baseball player, or that you thought that your kid would be a professional baseball player. I guess I don't know the purpose of that. I guess it's to make them strive to play better baseball. Like, that makes a difference. But I felt bad for the kid. Like, he can't hit the ball really well. And his father is saying, you'll never be good at it. You'll never be a professional baseball player like that. What? It just made me feel forlorn. It also made me feel like, okay, whatever. But I found it odd. I just found it odd. I don't think he was motivating his son under those circumstances. I think what the father should have said was, look, we've been playing baseball here for about 20 minutes. You're just not good at it. Why don't we go inside and see if we can draw? Anyway, these false motivations, you know, you can do anything that you want to do in life. No, you can't. And you shouldn't strive to do everything you want to do in life. You can try to, but that when you realize I can't do this, give it up. Focus on something that you can really make great. Because everybody's got some form of greatness in them. Everybody on this planet has some form of greatness in them. I don't know what it is, but it's in there. And if it's not great enough for the world, it's great enough for you. Wow, that was heavy. I'm sorry. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, my guest will be joining us on this show. That is fantastic.
Hey, this is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But you know me as the guy who runs the area's favorite Italian restaurant.
It's Headshots, Bobby.
Headshots, thank you. Hey, do you like pasta? Of course you do. Then you gotta come to Headshots this month. For Pasta La Musa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Pacula.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta La Nusa.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Paduca.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Patchouli.
Nice. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Potato.
Pasta Palooza.
Mr. Potato.
Back on track, Bobby. Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Fajol.
On the menu, but Pasta Palooza.
Patsy Klein.
No idea where that came from.
Pasta Canunza.
Pasta Palooza.
Pasta Cholula.
Pasta Palooza.
Jesus. Just come out and have some goddamn spaghetti.
Headshots now open Tuesday through Sunday at the corner of Flange and Hassenpfeffer.
Hello, Ron.
Hi, how you doing today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Great. Dr. Jeff Werber is practicing veterinary medicine. He's been doing it for over 30 years. Oh, my God. He's one of the few actively practicing veterinary medical journalists in the U.S. Hey, good to speak to you. We always like to talk to veterinarians. I always get them confused with vets, and I always say thank you for your service. But thank you for your service anyway.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, it's funny, we always say when we speak, when we write, we always try to use the full word veterinarian because of that. Because we say, wait, are you a car? Are you an ex-army? What do you mean a vet?
Exactly. we're talking about pet scratching, and then we're getting into some other things, but... I have a dog. Dog is scratching constantly, no matter, and I do the monthly flea treatment and things like that. Is it normal for a dog to scratch at itself continually?
Well, it's normal for a dog to scratch occasionally. Once it's becomes continual, when it becomes bothersome, when it actually interrupts their regular activities like eating and playing and chasing that ball, or they're rubbing and scooting and, you know, chewing on themselves, then it's not normal. And, you know, it leads to problems. It's often, especially this time of year, but it can happen all year, dogs scratch because of allergies. They don't sneeze. They don't have the runny eyes. They don't have the scratchy throat like we do. They actually scratch. And they itch. And they, as I said, they rub and they chew. So it is obviously something to be reckoned with. And the more they do it, and I'm sure you've seen dogs that have scabs along their back and the fleas. And there are many allergens that are affecting them, not only the pollens that affect us, but it's also things around the house. It could be, obviously, their food. It could be house dust. It could be house dust mites. It could be tobacco smoke, wool and cotton and certain flowers in the house. There are so many possible allergens in a dog's environment. So it's really important to understand when your dog's itching is too much itching. And we talk about, I have a great website that I direct pet owners to, and it's called youranimalinstinct.com, all one word, Your Animal Instinct, sponsored by Zoetis. And basically within the site, you can learn more about canine allergy, and you can take a quiz. It's called the Itch Instinct Quiz. And what this quiz does, it really will help clarify whether or not your dog's itching is a little too much. And if so, it will direct you, of course, to see your veterinarian.
Great.
And another program that Zoetis has been sponsoring and is tied in, as you mentioned, to the canine itch.
Yeah.
It's called the Canine Courage Program.
What is that?
And it's a wonderful program that is providing health care assistance to retired military and police dogs, as well as to active service dogs assisting veterans suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Wow.
So when that quiz is taken, that triggers a donation by Zoetis to this Canine Courage Program.
Very
so
cool.
It's really a win-win-win.
Okay.
We're going to be helping our pets. You're going to learn more about your dog's itch, helping these service dogs and helping the veterans whom these service dogs are helping. So, you know, as I said, it's a wonderful program.
So there is a connection between veterinarians and vets.
Absolutely. How do you like that?
Oh,
so the veterinarians helping the vets. And also, more importantly, with the completion of the quiz and learning more, you will learn more about some medications, new medications especially.
Yes.
Because typically in the past, and I, along as well as other veterinarians, have been resorting to, of course, the antibiotics, as you mentioned, to treat the secondary infections associated with this, but also things like corticosteroids, and immunosuppressive agents, and they are effective, but they also have side effects, whether it's excessive drinking and excessive urination, liver problems, increased appetite. So obviously it's a problem, but yet it's been worth it because we were helping our dogs. Well, now there's a new medication by Zoetis called Apoquel, and it is the best. I mean, I hate to talk about a dog allergy, but it's a cat's meow. I mean, it is not to be used on cats, but it's for dogs. And it is the first medication of its kind that actually attacks the canine itch at its core without the side effects. And honestly, I've had clients call me and have seen results within 2 hours.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. It's great.
I wish I could take this stuff because I have allergies.
I know people have asked me, can I take it? No, it's just for dogs, but it is really effective and it's safe and without the side effects.
Yeah.
So, you know, the way I look at the program is between the medication, the Apoquel, between the canine, you know, learning more about the canine itch, the Itch Instinct Quiz, youranimalinstinct.com, we are doing so much for our dogs. And for the very special dogs that are helping our veterans.
Great. Is licking also an allergic kind of reaction like scratching? Because my dog always licks a lot themselves as well.
Absolutely, especially when they're kind of rolled over and they're licking either their feet.
Yeah.
If they're licking their feet a lot, we often think of food allergy or pollen allergy.
Wow.
Or they're licking their groin area. And again, that also is going to be pollen allergies.
I thought that was for pleasure.
Oh, yeah, right.
Okay.
right. Yeah, that might be too, but I would worry about that. And then, of course, the chewing, you know, like too. A dog whips around and starts nibbling at
yes,
the skin.
Yes.
That, I would look for fleas. I would look for fleas in that one.
All right.
And, I mean, literally, they could be sitting and relaxing. All of a sudden, they turn around like a mile a minute, and they're just going nuts.
Okay, all right.
Yep. Those are the symptoms.
I wish you were my veterinarian, but I don't. You're probably not nearby. You're probably filled up. But anyway.
You can come out to California. We'd love to see you.
Okay. Well, it's a little bit of a trip to just to have my dog checked out. Anyway, okay, give me some websites where I can get more information when you're not around.
Okay. The website is youranimalinstinct.com, and that is the best.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Let me ask you one more
thing. All right. Thanks, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful as usual. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Please join me then. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.